You have been listening to a program broadcast entirely in the Mohawk language on CKUT.
The Mohawk, or Ganyatgahaga, are the original people of the unceded traditional territory known as Montreal, or Jojaake. The Ganyatgahaga, or people of the Flint, have two communities close by, and they are working hard at revitalizing their language. This program is part of those efforts, and it originally aired in Ganasadage on RKR, reviving Ganasadage Radio.
CKUT's a messenger, teaching the youth about roots and culture, and tell the masses them to remember Jah. That's all I need when I am. Well, CKUT's a messenger, teaching the youth about roots and culture, and tell the masses them to remember Jah. That's all I need when I am. Well, 90.3 FM. It's CKUT, the cultural radio station. Radio McGill. Blessed love. The messenger. Take it away.
What's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
A servitude, rare bloody moose leg hanging. She ripped hair with my young wolves ganging. Snare wire loops on a cold moon snagging. Breaking down the troop while they puke booze gagging. My sister got the boost from the cops right around the block. Labeled her a prostitute, not a few they wanna drop. I've been at it since a manic youth in a padded room. Panic button in my attitude, getting mad at you. Running through the six with my res dogs. Got a politic, this is it. Ain't no meds dog in my nose dog, cause I goes off. Ain't no doze off, this is wide awake. Making it my mozo. All the stress upon my plate got me twisted like a false face. Systematic state got me wishing on it. So I'm switching fate. I'm spreading love, not hate.
Corner curbs and back alleys. Hip-hop ain't dead if it's knowledge you spit.
You can hear it in the lyrics, in the way that I rap. It's so sick, cause when it come to that rapping I go all out.
For the street, T.O. to South Cali. Hip-hop ain't dead if it's knowledge you spit.
You can hear it in the lyrics, in the way that I rap. Mike activist.
Street poetry, I kick moves, mountains.
Poetry, I'm sober with it, sober with a soldier mind. Overtime, so committed, over limit, finish line. Breathing to my last drop, money's not my motivation. If it was, I'd be a puppet selling out to corporations. Dead Indian romanticized, enhancing minds. So they love me when I'm dancing, but they fear me when I'm standing. Sunrise, seven lifetimes glancing ahead and they amping. What's the man in? New clothes, mansion. New whip, computer chip, brain on bandwidth. I'll be rocking tan hide, watch how the fam ride. In canoes with the moose on the landslide. Never hiding my face, it's been decided my fate. Traced by starlight, raised by the Great Lakes. The page turns while we flip it off the axis. Rage turned into practice, we map this.
For the street corner curbs and back alleys. Hip-hop ain't dead if it's knowledge you spit.
You can hear it in the lyrics, in the way that I rap. It's so sick, cause when it come to that rapping I go all out. For the
street, yes, 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 we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and this evening we are wrapping up our invitation of special guests on for the month of July. We are inviting Native Indigenous creators across Canada, and we ended up getting some international folks as well to come and speak with us. Our guest this evening is Wesley Day. He's an Ojibwe multimedia artist from Serpent River First Nation. At the age of 18, he received some basic training in the mixed media in Six Nations, Ontario, and shortly after enrolled and graduated from Canada College in North Bay, Ontario for television broadcasting and video production. Having completed his education, he decided to test the waters. The result was a zombie film, which he entered in the Imaginative Film Festival in 2009. Afterwards, he worked at the Oneida and Language and Cultural Center in Oneida Nations of the Thames Settlement. Their work was mainly to restore the Oneida language and ways of living through various forms of media. Their projects range from dramatic films, documentaries, and podcasting. Wesley, thank you so much for taking the time out to be here. Even this, just that little introduction alone, I know you're a busy man, so... thank you so much for taking the time to be with us this evening.
Thank you, Kim. Yeah, man. Life is busy when you do this type of work, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, production work, it's like you have contracts coming out the wazoo.
Yeah, sometimes, and then you got nothing going on, and you gotta
there's that.
You gotta have money saved or be inventive.
And get grants and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we are out of, I don't even know if we're out of the pandemic, because now we have the monkeypox that's supposedly coming in, and it seems like we're constantly in the state of knowing or not knowing what we're doing, where we're going with this this whole kind of global pandemic situation. But how was the pandemic for you? How did it affect your work, especially being someone that, you know, very creative and you have to work with a lot of different folks?
Quite honestly, the pandemic was a nice little break. In my work, I'm very used to hurry up and wait.
Okay.
And my work never really seemed to stop, honestly. I just continued to work remotely doing editing, or a lot of the interviews or stuff we did, we just did them outside.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really a change, because I lived this artist life, so... we're constantly on the outskirts of society anyways.
Yeah.
And I don't work a regular 9-to-5. I tell people I work 24/7. So I'm always in the mix. I'm always doing stuff. I'm always kind of looking at things from different perspectives.
Yeah.
So I found this pandemic was just like a really strange little thing, but it felt like everybody else was starting to experience life as I had. That's right. How it felt, because, like, you had people driving around, you know, 3 o'clock in the day or 2 o'clock, and you didn't usually see that. But now you've seen a bunch of people out just kind of looking around and trying to figure out what was going on.
Yeah. It's been very challenging for folks who don't like to stay home, or they're just not used to the free time, quote unquote free time, that comes with not having to go to work on a rigid schedule.
Yeah, for me, I just kind of focused more on painting. I was painting a lot, and okay. Then I was also doing Zooms with my buddy Jay Rebel.
Okay.
Jay is a breakdancer out in Jane and Finch. Mm-hmm. He used to be with Supernatural Crew.
Okay.
And he used to have a party every year we'd all go to, because I do rhymes too, right? Like hip hop.
Okay.
So I used to go out there, freestyle, kick it, chop it up, you know, and he used to host these things online, like Friday hangouts. So I was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We just hang out, and then I was painting a lot, man. Something was telling me just paint. So it was an interesting time. I think a lot of creatives responded accordingly.
Yeah. And how did you decide to start working in mixed media arts?
Well, for me, I always had a camera in my hand.
Mm.
And I grew up in a place where, on the reserve, where, you know, there wasn't a heck of a lot going on all the time.
Yeah.
So, just growing up in that era, skateboarding, listening to punk rock music, being kind of outcasty. And then I remember, like, distinctively being inspired by the film Roadkill by Bruce McDonald.
Okay.
Bruce directed, he went on to direct Hardcore Logo and Dance Me Outside, which is a very popular film amongst, like, indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
But one of his first films was Roadkill. And it was about this journalist who traveled to Northern Ontario in search of this rogue punk band, right? She was trying to reunite the band. In the process, she meets all these outlandish, wild characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching this as like, I think I was 10 years old when I watched it, maybe younger, and it just blew my Northern Ontario res out mind open.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, there's weirdos out there, like people who dress like that, and there's music like that, and they're filming something, and I can do that too if I just get a camera and start filming something. Like, yeah. The film touched me.
Yeah.
And it really touched me deeply, and I watched it, and I had a buddy over here just recently. We were talking about influences, and I showed him some of that film. I was like, man, like, that stuff, like, kind of traumatized me, but also kind of prepared me for this lifestyle.
Right. But isn't that the funny thing about trauma, though, is when it can have a positive effect on you if you so choose. It can have a very negative effect on you, but it can. It's one of those things that happens, and it's like you kind of have to make a decision. It becomes a fork in the road.
Yeah. Well, in our ways, like in our beliefs, we believe like everything's a lesson. You know,
yeah.
Everything happens for a reason, and you know, all of these things that we go through, we choose those. We choose our parents. We choose our struggles. And then we choose to inhabit this body and we live this life.
Yeah.
And then when all that's done, like, we go back to the spirit world, man. Like, I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about that.
Yeah.
And the nature of consciousness and like you're saying, trauma, you know?
Yeah.
That's become a big thing.
Yeah. It's a very hot topic nowadays.
Yeah. But I think we're all traumatized to some degree, even the trauma of the affluent, you know?
Yeah.
People who have all the money and they live in these bubbles, like, that's scary. That's like a different style of, I don't know.
It's a different kind of prison almost.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this Christmas, I took my son for a drive. And we were driving out in Toronto, and I was like, you want to drive? You want to see Drake's house? He's like, yeah, sure. We drove out through his neighborhood during Christmas.
Wow.
And we were just driving through all these massive mansions. I was like, oh, there's Drake's house. You want to take a picture? He's like, nah, Dad, I'm cool. And then I see, you know, we were driving, and I was like, you know, we should, like, think about these people. You know, maybe I hope they're having a good Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I was thinking. Like, I hope these people have a good Christmas, man.
Yeah.
Like, it must be hard being a billionaire. It's very surreal. It's very surreal.
Yeah, because there's almost like a point at which, like, at what point of richness do you, like, not, there's no, almost no return. It's just like, okay, I'm just getting wealthier and wealthier, but there's no,
yeah,
you know, like, there's a threshold that you reach where it's like, okay, I'm rich, but, you know, like, how much richer can I get from here? I don't know if I'm making any sense.
No, well, I was talking to a guy who was into crypto.
Okay.
And NFTs and all that, and he was making some money there, and he called me and he said, what's your definition of success? I said, success? I said, I can walk down to the river in the city here in Brantford, and I can take a glass, and I can fill that full of water and drink that. I said, that's success to me, dude. Mm. Until society produces that, I don't think we're a successful society. I think we're backwards.
I think we
aim for backwards things, backwards thinking. He's like, oh, wow, yeah. Let's turn that into an NFT.
And what did he give you his definition of success?
I think it was like, you know, 3.5 kids and $10 million. I heard 10 million is the new 1 million now, so.
Right.
I guess I got to grind harder, right?
Woo. it's funny that you say that. Like, I've been reflecting a lot about, you know, how we came to this earth. Like, what you said about choosing our parents and choosing everything is a choice. It resonates with me deeply because I feel like my mother would always tell me, Kim, you chose us. You chose my father and her to come to this earth. And like, if you know that a little bit of the background on me is that my mom actually got, like, there was a complication and she was, like, not supposed to have children. And she had boyfriends and, you know, did what they did. And no children came of it. And those boyfriends went on to have other partners and they had children. So it wasn't like something was wrong with them. But then my father came along and pop goes the weasel. You know, it was
like, man.
I came through very quickly. And she said it's oftentimes we forget that there's a spiritual side to children and to our daily living, and we have to kind of choose the way in which we're moving. And we always, that key for me was, we always have a choice. No matter what happens to us, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much excuses we make, it's, we choose, are we going left, center, or right?
Yeah, I feel that love is the fastest vehicle known to mankind. You know, like if my children travel to Mars, my love, if I don't ever make it to Mars, my love will precede that.
Yeah.
It can.
The slums and the native reservations, anywhere that there's drugs or a lack of education. Everything that I does don't need no verification, cause I do it for my son and the people who never made it, even the ones who hated, who kept me from what I'm chasing. I stepped in to face it, deck chins to make it, rep six like Drake did, tested the pavement, neglected the hatred, we destined for greatness.
Everything that I does don't need no verification.
Travel with that heart for the people, wear it on my sleeve. Battle in the dark, it's an ego that I don't feed. I gotta move with my family and it's all love. All included in this music that was once drugs. Had to see past, reaching for the dream. Went from doing this on the weekend to a full-time thing. For the fans and the elders, storytellers and the dreamers. We kick it a cappella, street level and they need us. Used to travel walking dirt roads with the beats on. Now I'm rapping studios and chosen for my theme song. The path long that I charted leads back. Full circle way beyond through the artistry of rap. It's a part of me, beats, tracks, and arteries. Chiefs, cash, and casualties. Streets laugh so casually. They love me cause I'm true to this. A student and a fan. A gift to do this music for the movement and my fans.
They love me cause I'm true to this. A student and a fan. They get to do this music for the movement in my fans.
They love me in the slums, they love me in the six, cause I keep it 100 and it's real when I speak.
No black or envy, no love at the daily red food bank. It's a struggle, man. What you think? The baby's crazy, raised off sugar water. Mothers and fathers not watching their daughters. Then they've been comported to economical slaughter. I wish a native replaced Stephen Harper. Struggles getting harder, can't use it, they torture. I should have stayed in school, became a doctor or a lawyer, engineer, or accountant. But the street poetry, I kick moves mountains. Rhyme like I'm 18 and found a youth fountain. Jimmy James, people's champ, how could you doubt him? Struggle, every day is another test. Carry the weight, big up your chest. Struggle, when you up against defense. Focus, strike back, precision, common sense. Struggle, when you gotta take a stand. Every child, woman, and man. Struggle, every day is another test. Carry the weight, big up your chest.
No relaxing, kid, we keep it live where the action is. Mic activists, considered a rebel till the track was spit. Hurt through walls of tenements, to fall on deaf ears is irrelevant. When I represent the elements and gather nations with my eloquence, I'd like to see seeds planted for all my nephews and nieces caught in the panic. We be the granite, soil, and the skin, the fabric of the life and the stars where it begins. For my athletes at track meets and young chiefs who must speak. For the guidance in my fam in times where you can throw it all away, acting wild in these tough streets. Understand it's a man who shines and a woman who gives light. A child with a dream, a warrior reborn from violence and fiends. A pathway to pathways and all the classics. Real life, not packaged in plastic.
I'm African but represent six nations. They got us free from the chains and the slave ships. On the underground railroad through the rest to freedom in the white north, but instead we ended up broke as Canadian men. No work, no pay, better off slaves than most went back to America again. When slavery ended, they were better off men with stable families while African Canadians.
Ba 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 When you're not paying for a product, you are the product. Especially in web and email services, where multinationals compete to manage your communication so they can make a profit off of the private communication you are producing. Coombit is a worker cooperative trying to help small organizations or individuals get their email, website creation, and website hosting services off corporate services such as Google. For more information, contact us at coombit.org or email at info@coombit.org. That's K-O-U-M-B-I-T. We are not on Facebook.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are doing a special this month, for the month of July, where we are honoring the natives, the native folks that live in this land. And we currently have with us Wesley Day, who resides in the Six Nations, Ontario, where he freelances with various individuals and organizations to tell their stories. And he hopes that you enjoy all the efforts, all the people behind, all the efforts put for the behind this project. Wesley, I'm stumbling over my words. I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah, man.
I wanted to ask you because I'm also a filmed person, and in your bio it says that you had a zombie film, and I have always been fascinated with the zombies as it's grown more and more in pop culture. Like it was very cult in like the 70s and 80s. So there wasn't a lot of zombie movies, but now it's like every week we have another zombie show coming out, and there's a World War Z, and there's a show where the girl is a zombie, and there's just a lot of zombiness going on. Tell us a little bit about why you decided to do a zombie film.
Okay. Well, first thing, I got training in Six Nations, of the Grand River out here near Brantford, the res.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a big reserve. There's 30,000 people, right?
Wow. Yeah.
And I moved there from, you know, little Northern Ontario, and, they trained me how to use, you know, cameras, and they had Macs that we could edit on,
nice.
All that stuff. So after I got through that course, I headed up north, and I made a skate video. I think I made one of the first native skate videos, dude.
Okay.
We called it the Holy Mackerel Tour, and it was just dumb. We just filmed ourselves waking up and going to two skate parks, like one on our reserve and then one on Serpent River, our reserve,
mm-hmm.
and then one in Sagamuck,
okay.
which is the next reserve over. And, we put it together, and then I end up flying out to this, conference in Edmonton, this like healing conference.
Right.
And then they showed the film, man. I was like, whoa, I just made my first film. And I think I made one of the first skate films, dude, and native skate films in 2008, perhaps.
Yeah.
After that, got into college. I was at Canada College, man. I was, vibing out there. I passed everything, you know, and then when I got home, I was chilling with my buddy Joel, and Joe was like, used to be my babysitter, man. We used to hang out all the time,
right?
And like skateboard, and we were like stoners and stuff. And I'm like, dude, I'm gonna make a movie. He's like, okay. He's like, either you do a continuation of the Holy Mac tour, like the Holy Mackerel tour,
okay,
we go across Canada and we just skate, or he's like, you could make a zombie film, man. I was like, oh, shoot. I was like, zombie film, you know? So we flipped a coin, dude. We flipped a coin.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, it's heads, zombie film. You know, all right. So I started writing the film, dude. It took me like a summer.
Mm-hmm.
I hitchhiked. I was back and forth. You know, I was living down here with my fam, and I hitchhiked up north, and I was writing with my buddy Desolate Soldier. He's like this rapper. We were writing... For days, we were writing this film, man.
Yeah.
And we wrote the film. We put it all together. And then the next summer, we went out and, we made the movie. And it was crazy, man. And it wasn't just about zombies. It was about, like, time travel, government conspiracies.
Mm-hmm.
I told people it was a zombie action time travel film. And the film was about these mercenaries who are trying to piece together, you know, what had happened. And then they find this cult leader who was a scientist, and he had this time travel device. They had to travel back in time and stop the virus from ever happening. They busted into this facility, man, wiped out this dream frequency analysis, like, scientist. Mm-hmm. And then they tried to stop it from ever happening. It was so wild, dude.
Wow.
But, you know, we just went all out. I think it cost me $1,200 to make. Mm-hmm. I borrowed everything. I was hitchhiking through North Bay. I was contacting metalheads. I was covered in fake blood, man. I loved it, dude.
Yeah.
Loved it. The energy behind it, you know?
Did you solve the time travel paradox?
Oh, yeah. In the end, they had to kill the main scientist.
Right.
Because he had invented it. Yeah, it was very, like, I don't know. I think there were 35 deaths in it.
Right.
we used pesticide sprayers for squibs, which I don't think people were really doing then.
What's squibs?
Squibs are when you shoot something and it explodes and blood flies out.
Okay,
okay,
yeah. Yeah.
We had tried condoms with washers attached to it. We had tried, like, these literally obscure, you know, those vampire blood capsules. None of that worked. We had to get these sprayers and pack them full of foam and fake blood. We ended up using Crayola blood paint.
Okay.
But, dude, it was a blast, man. Everybody involved was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, two of my nephews were the main stars.
Okay.
You know, my mother helped out with filming. The whole res came out. You know, like, what are we doing? And I had to do the cult leader's monologue. They're all dressed up.
You sure it only cost $1,200? That sounds like it costs a lot more.
Dude, we were hustling, man. I made a lot of promises. I ordered a lot of pizza. It probably cost more, but
yeah,
you know. But that was it, man. I lived out my dream. You know, I was creating something like an homage to Bruce McDonald and frickin' Roadkill, man. Mm. We were out there.
Nice.
And I had a lot of steam, man. I went to Imaginative. We rolled up in the community center van. Mm-hmm. People were like, who are these, like, crazy-ass natives? We showed up. We're screaming, like, yeah, what's up? And just going nuts. And people didn't know how to take it either, man. It was kind of just really sort of way ahead of its time, man. Yeah. And this was before Daisy. This was before all of that. And then when that started to happen, funny story, I believe a school teacher from Espanola, the next town over, he produced a zombie film.
Right.
And the CBC did a huge story on it. They're like, oh, first indigenous zombie film. And my buddy Joao, the guy like who's getting me into that, he's like, oh, I went and talked to him, and he said, yeah, he acknowledged us, dude. He's like, yeah. Because I think he came to the premiere. We premiered our film in 2009. He made his in 2010, I believe.
Right.
But I still want that title, like, as the first indigenous zombie film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And looking back now, 13 years later, where 2002, it was officially premiered in 2009. Looking back, did you see any subtext that maybe you didn't consciously put in there? Because, like, with me, I have a lot of poetry, and I have thousands of poems, and sometimes I'll go back and read a poem, and I'll be like, whoa, I didn't even think about that originally when I was writing it, you know, like, did you have that kind of experience if you rewatched it or thinking back to it now?
No, I don't think like that. I just full steam ahead.
Yeah.
Like, I think I've been involved in trends. Like, when podcasting was starting, I think I started that a long time ago. My friend got me into it, and I just started interviewing people. They're like, what's a podcast? I ran my podcast for about 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these things I do, I don't try to look back. I really love what the youth do. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I work with youth. Like, right now I'm working in Six Nations, and we're producing a dramatic film.
Okay.
And, I tell them all the time, they're like, I'm like, my goal is that you supersede what I've created.
Yes.
You know? That's my goal. I don't have ego. I want you to friggin' rock it. but I want you to rock it properly.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to hear like, oh, I'm tired or I'm this, I'm that. I'm like, dude, like in our day, I was hitchhiking, dude. I was sleeping on floors. I spent a lot of time sleeping on floors and editing for people, you know, and there's something like, to me, like filming it, there's an honor to it. There's a respect to it. You know, there's an edginess to it. And, you know, I just turned 37 last week, and I was just thinking about it, like, man, like I put myself through so much to do this. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I love it. And that goes hand in hand with hip hop as well. Right.
Right.
Like that whole DIY that goes hand in hand with punk DIY. You're going to do it.
Yeah.
You're going to make the film, make the freaking film. Who cares?
Yeah. Cause you can't wait for people to believe in you. No, you literally to come back to our gurus that are always about positivity. You got to believe in yourself before anybody believes in you.
Yeah. You're self-generating interest. And I try to stay like now my approach has changed a little. I'm a lot less sharp on things. I'm just absorbing it and I'm getting ready to send it back to the universe. And like, I mean, just taking all this creative shit and then making new art.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to make, new art. Like we're currently involved in this 3D animation project in VR. I was touring CERT just last week, the Screen Institute of Research and Technology, where they're out of Sheridan. Like, I'm always at awe with the things that happen, you know? And I just keep showing up, but I never forget like that core, you know, that the zombie blood, skateboarding, the hip hop. That's always going to be a part of me, right? As well as the culture, you know, because I spent a lot of time helping elders. I spent a lot of time praying. I spent a lot of time fasting and just trying to, have that part of my life, you know?
So now you're 13 years removed. Do you have anything particular that you want to do in the future? I know you're working with youth and you want them to create their own thing and supersede you, but for yourself, is there anything in particular you're aiming for in terms of film creation?
Not sure yet. I'm going back to the north soon to help another filmer. He's producing a film about Northern Ontario, and he's looking for kind of some really dark and outlandish characters. Okay. So I said, well, I'll be your consultant. a lot of people I know are still up there, and Northern Ontario is this really wild, sad, beautiful, like just. I don't know. There's just an energy there. And I want to go up there again.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to go up there and I don't know what's going to happen, dude. Like that's the excitement to it.
Yeah.
And as an artist, you're looking to feel that freedom, that vibe. Like there's no deadline out here. Mm-hmm. Like, what? We can just keep working all night on this. Like, this is crazy. No one's thinking about this. Like that's the feel. And I'm waiting to get there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of responsibilities for me down here. I'm involved in a lot of projects. The money's coming in. I'm not too worried, but there has to be this point where I hit it and I'm in it and it's fresh and it's free. It doesn't have to do with their society. It has to do with this society we're doing now. And that to me is fun. Like it's fun, dude. Yeah. It's not, you know, so I'm not sure what it is. I think it might involve interviewing individuals who I find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We make a short film together, but these people are going to be from different walks of life, man.
Gotcha.
And I want to push that a little because I think the algorithm is training us to be this political, this, that. I'm so sick of the machine, man. And if I can express that through something that's refreshing for people, and that'll be it.
Yeah, I like what you said. It reminds me, in the beginning of June, I went to Black Theater Workshops. They have an artist mentorship program in which they do every year at the end of the session, they do like all the artists come together and do a presentation. This year, they were collaborating with the NAC, the National Arts Center in Ottawa. And so all of the artists went to Ottawa, and they were doing a live broadcast here in Montreal. And I went to the live viewing. Sorry, not broadcast, the viewing. And they had two former Artist Mentorship Program alum, and they were talking about, you know, their experience about art and everything. And one of them had said, she has a philosophy of and see. So if someone brings something to her that's interesting or that can take a career in a certain direction, she says, you know what? I'm going to go do it and see what happens next. And it seems like you have that kind of philosophy of, you know what? The path may not be completely lit all the way to the end, but let's see where it goes, where I go from here.
Yeah, that seems to be it. I'm not terribly organized at times.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times, even in my art, like I'm physically painting, I'm just throwing stuff together and then it works magically in the end.
Yeah, because so when you're painting, you might have an idea, an initial idea in your head, but then when the colors start to hit the canvas and then it starts to run and bleed, it might take on a life of its own, no?
Yeah, and then there's this aha moment when you realize that you're not alone in thinking that, and I think that's the big part of it.
Yeah.
Like as artists or creatives, we're providing truths in society that they're denying, and we put it up on the wall, and others watch that, and they say, wow, I do feel like that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not alone. I feel great watching that. You
know? Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get people to say, like, hey, you know, it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to be weird. It's okay to fuck up or mess up. Sorry. It's okay to change things, because we have to change things. And I think as an artist, we have to change, continually change.
Yeah.
And that's bittersweet, but it's also part of, you know, being a human being.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like art and change are almost, they're indistinguishable from one another, because wherever you have art, there will always be some kind of change that accompanies it, for better or for worse, and all of that stuff.
Well, there'll be an art explosion.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, currently, there is a young person who is dreaming up the next hype thing. You know, they don't even know that they're doing it. They're just doing it because that's what they're going to do. And once they release it on the internet, because we have the internet now,
yeah,
that explodes into the public consciousness. And then that's when the, you know, corporations get involved, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we need that on our show. We need that. Yeah, that's hype. Like, how did you do that? Oh, you're so awesome.
Yeah.
And then that person, you know, and it's almost the same extractionist culture that has predominated, you know, our culture, right? Yeah. Indigenous cultures. It's, you know, let me see this beautiful land and you know, let me take everything I can from it. You know? And that's, but what they don't understand is that it's infinite.
Yeah.
The spirit is infinite. You know, they can take all this stuff they want, but they'll never ever get that at the core inside of the individual is spirit, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, yeah.
Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Wesley Day, who is an Ojibwe multimedia artist from Serpent River First Nation. He is one of our guests where we're celebrating Indigenous and Native culture across Canada and beyond. We do have to take a quick break and play some music. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Regenerated cycles come full circle. Our blood spills back premature with weapons of them who pay not their dues but speak in untruths born without an ounce of remorse. Our guts turn gray like the ashen skin of the murdered man slumped over the wheel of his vehicle upon lands once known as his, where he only wanted to go. His spirit now wanders upon barbed wire property, and when his family calls him, come home, he makes them wait. He's been trying every door to escape. So he hangs around just a minute more and watches the great-great-grandchildren of his younger brother being told, be careful around here. The murderer returns, to his cup of coffee, to the rantings of his wife, who said she was so scared. Her hero took care of it, but his red-tinged skin tells on him this is illogical, and he knows it, bred into him by his grandfather's racism, taught as the gospel today. He does his ancestors proud, lives out the fantasy they so often talked about with their wives over coffee. They come from another place. They do not connect the way we connect, but hold real estate papers and wave them in our face like victory flags, singing the tired taxpayer's lament. It is a shotgun and a can of Coke. It is sleeping pills and 10 different ways to tell the same story in court. It is caskets and feasts for the dead. These are ancient feuds, and justice has no jurisdiction over something so old. Before paper and ink, before memory loss and distrust. Juries are just citizens collected from corrals of wayward cattle themselves, exercising the ego of a nation. Without identity or foundation, spirit man will haunt them, maybe not today.
Stepped on the scene, it's the bloke from the 4300, about to go hectic. I triggered all of these dogs, got my bars too heavy like a deadlift. Got a proton flow, it's electric, finna go reckless. You already know who the best, that's me. These rappers are all for the show, somebody put them up on Netflix. Since when do we ever need shakes? Since when? Or need to run with a gun? Never. I was taught when the beef comes round, with your 2 feet, now have a one-on-one. That's us. Nowadays everybody has a knife, I stick it in the eye like curry. Nowadays everybody wants smoke, like who wants smoke? Give them a dolly, I'm different, brother, I'm different. Take a little trip to the west side of Brisbane. Come the boys in the back, never stay distant. Yeah. LMA bars, how I got them all tripping. My doctor told me, listen, cause you gotta let them know. So I stepped up to the plate and told my doctor, fucking no. Now I'm kicking back, making tracks for the hood, cuz making all these other clowns here look dumb. Aye. Everybody just wants to be a hoodlum. Fill them up deep, cause they looking like shook. I'm down for the hood. 4-3 shit, let them know what's good. What's good? Bar after bar, but they all look shook. And a middle finger up to this bitch ass. Don't
fuck me, bro.
Tell them come get me. I swear they'll never forget me. Must be teachers the way they want to test me. Let them hate cause the flow's too hefty. Hop on the mic and you better come secchi. Aye. Look, better say that shit with your chest. If not, then you better say less. Say less. Brisbane coming up from the west. Say my name out loud so you know who's next. Better say that shit with your chest. Aye. If not, then you better say less. Aye. That's enough for sending the threats. Come round here and you know what's next. From Monday to Friday, I'm steady trying to make this stosh. And I swear that I'm always offside, cause I'm always in front when shit kicks off. They don't wanna see this side pissed off. Switch city, bro, we ain't never been soft. Keeping the peace, but if they want beef, just know that we coming and serving it hot. We ain't never been making no noise, all my usos keep a low key. I got boys in the 4300 to the 01, now to the 03. So don't chat to me about soldiers, cause I got brothers that love this shit. Got no kids, but you'll think I'm a father, from the way that I raised this fist. Kick back, kick back, tell them all kick back. If it's them versus us, it's a mismatch. If they want beef, then send them a big match. I'm done, I did that. Now all I gotta do is sit back. 4300, cause I'm with that. Ay, finish my also hit that. Better say that shit with your chest. If not, then you better say less. Say less. Brisbane yo, coming up, real. The West, say my name out loud, so you know who's next. Better say that shit with your chest. If not, then you better say less.
Bring a whole lot of a ton of ball. 50, y'all. But there's a ton of us, yeah. Cold in the winter, ready for summer ball. East side, west side, bringing you a ton of ball. Damn. North side, bring you a ton of ball. Damn. Worldwide, that's a ton of ball. Damn. East side, that's a ton of ball. Yeah. Bringing you a ton of ball. My buck is infinite. Ever. We could go 2,000 rounds. You heard about a ton. That's about 2,000 pounds. Wow. Ready to dump it on them. Wow. Just double pump it on them. Wow. Make them feel like six sumos are straight jumping on them. Jumbo. So you woke? I put you to sleep. Now you gotta nap. I spit offensive lines and play the center, man. Guess I gotta snap.
Ain't no finessing.
Nah.
We use a raw force. Come to the yard and I'll greet you with more swings than a golf course. Featherweights, we don't hang with them.
Never.
Let's keep it a fair sport. Lobsters took off. My material landed.
Where?
Sounds like an airport. My Tim's on. My Chuck's my whatever.
Okay.
Man, could be them Air Force. Man, who cares?
What?
As long as you suckers know what I'm here for. It's all about style and power.
Power.
Ain't no style at ours.
None.
Man, shut the hell up. Welcome to the Salad Hour. Big Rip is with me. Ain't nowhere for you to go, kid. Once we run upon you with masks on, it won't be because of COVID. It's because we
you already know.
Bring a whole lot of.
Now you see me.
I found out that I factor in these semicircles. The rain is 50 shades of the color purple. So much stuff out here to hurt you. No rehearsals, learn reversals. Kind of hard to read like cursive. You may not understand the man's banter until the end of my verses.
Hey,
yo, more. Seven. This is something I can work with. Let's make music. Every time I rhyme, it's heavy, so make them wait. Stupid, fully equipped with cheap trickery. Told them to check their history. Resume got them living, no kidding. That's all you get for free. No, I'm not for sale no more. This is truly my style of life. My black blood is great and freedom. So you can catch me with a
Planning on the planet, dog. While I get my feet wet, staying away from Alice. She could be a malice. Life is made of great gifts. Come with me and lift it. I'm up for a night.
Yo, glad I had my seatbelt. I took this flight with EastJet. Let's fast forward this red tape.
When I press play, you eject it. Holding on this way now. Sitting next to an old plane.
Memories could switch lanes, so I'm sitting lazy with a new aim. We had food and two shots, then we got to my spot. This time I'ma get my hopes up, so real I need no makeup. Life is made of great gifts. I mean you were so fantastic. Felt like it was magic, our connection was so instant. Time to leave our romance, we're side to side facing turbulence. Not once, not twice we gave a chance. The zone we've flown could stand a chance. Now take my hand, last chance. We got so high, now we're landing. I'm feeling down the assistance, but there's no stopping.
Can we fly one more time before it becomes a no-fly zone? We'll go places we don't know. Let's fly away. Yeah.
Should have been on flight mode, cruise control in the front row. A glass of scotch with no rocks, with a new headset at a low cost. 6 o'clock, no scandal. I guess tonight let's gamble. Smooth just like a Land Rover. Then come back with new clothes. Trying to talk but the door's closed. It takes 2 not 3 to tango. How we got so damn low. Man, I miss you like the rainbow. Smoothness now in the black box. If you ask me, it's great though. Cause every day was a new show. On loop just like a sample. Living life slow, eating mangoes. In a place right that is narco. And smile more, new payroll. I get a blue suit like Chango. Let my peeps know that I'm good though. See, I'm complex, but we all though. Now I'm focused on my endo. So let's furnish this castle. Come on.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Excuse me. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and my guest this evening is Wesley Day, an Ojibwe artist, multimedia artist from Serpent River First Nation, who is just extremely accomplished. And one of the things that you said earlier, Wesley, is that you came to hip-hop. And you were talking about hip hop being one of those mediums where you just had to kind of believe in yourself because nobody believes until you've believed in yourself and showed that you can do something with it. How did you come to hip hop?
Well, yeah, hip hop is a instant message. You know, we're gonna cut through it and we're gonna spit it. You know.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that idea, right? You could just get to it. It all started with my cousin Mike Pine, man. He came up north and he was from Hamilton and he's dressing like baggy clothes and sideways hats and we're dressing like punk rock Dead Kennedys, right? And we're standing in this kitchen and he's like, throw on a beat and he starts rhyming, you know? I'm like,
yeah.
What's going on here, dude? What are you doing, man? That's stupid.
Yeah.
Go home, man. Like, what the hell? That's dumb, you know?
Right.
And then he's like, well, you should try it, cuz. I'm like, well, okay, I'll try it, you know? And I started spitting something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that was the first time I got into it. My buddy just pointed that out to me. That was your cousin Mike, you know? But anyways, I'd always been a writer. I quit drugs and alcohol, all forms of substances when I was 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I quit all that. I had a crazy time with all that shit.
Yeah.
And I couldn't sleep, man. At night, I couldn't sleep. So I'd have to write, dude. I'd write every friggin' night.
So and, after you quit all the drugs and alcohol, yeah. you had insomnia.
No, I don't know what it was. It was an obsession. It was an obsession with freaking identifying what was going on in my right. head and identifying where I was. But anyways, I started writing,
mm-hmm.
and I came down to Six Nations, and my neighbor was Henry Buka. He was a local rapper down here, and he just lived right across from me, man.
Yeah.
And where I moved in with my father down there. And he won a computer at the raceway, and he was making tracks. He's like, yo, why don't you hop on a track? I was like, oh, okay. And it was kind of a joke for me at first. Like, yeah, let's just rap about guns and rap about bullshit. And then gradually it became an obsession, man, much like the writing.
Mm.
And it was an easy transfer to me. It spoke to me. And this happened for a while, and we did our first little album just on his grandmother's laptop or computer. And I went back up to Northern Ontario. I was bored out of my mind because I was sober. I didn't do drugs and do alcohol. I'm freaking 19 years old hanging out on the res. And I was kicking it with my buddy Desolate Soldier again, the dude I was writing this zombie script with.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, man, I have this beat CD. I'm like, throw on a beat. Oh man, all right. We threw on this beat, and I kid you not, dude, we freestyled for about 9 hours straight.
Mm-hmm.
We freestyled like from 3 p.m. to like, or that was an insane time. Yeah, anyways, it was 9 hours straight, dude. He had a microphone, a little karaoke machine.
Mm-hmm.
We're rhyming. People are showing up at his house. They're jamming to the music. They go home. We're still rhyming. I'm lying on my back. I'm like, yo, Des, get a coffee. Let's sip it. Let's get going. Let's get equipped. It, da, da, da. Mm-hmm. And he's like, holy crap. And after all that happened, I called that an MC torture session. I was like, yo, man.
Wow.
And that became a thing. I was like, you want to do some MC torture? He's like, sure, man. And we would just rhyme, dude, 4-hour freestyles, 8-hour freestyles. And then people I would meet who were serious about rap, I was like, you want to MC torture? They're like, what's that? And I would like tell them what that was.
Mm.
And they didn't believe me. Like, we're rhyming 4 hours now. I don't mm-hmm. care. I just want to get better. So it became a part of my spirituality, you know, cause I was a part of my native spirituality.
Yeah.
But hip hop somehow bled through because I was finding healing in it. I was finding camaraderie, and I was finding spiritual awakenings in it. You know, I could listen to Wu-Tang. I remember, what was that one song with RZA? You know, you can party your life away, dream your life away, scheme your life away, but your seeds grow up the same way. I remember listening to that, dude, and freaking crying, man.
Yeah.
Like, I got that.
Yeah.
Like, I understood that as a form of healing, and I was a part of that, you know.
Because so, to an extent, yeah. it was like someone else was speaking truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so yes. you're kind of confronted with the truth, the reality of this person who is not even from the same part of the continent as me is speaking about something that resonates with your core, and therefore, you know, art creating change, art causing change.
Mm-hmm.
Because healing is I understand healing to be a shifting of your atoms, your body's atoms, into a better mm-hmm. alignment.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're all made of atoms, and when we're unwell, whether we want to think about it as a spiritual consciousness or a physical body, when we're unwell, our atoms are not vibrating at the right frequency. And when we heal is where we put those atoms back into the correct frequency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just felt it, man. And then when we formed another group called Six Bronx, and then we worked a lot. Like, we were constantly in Toronto recording with this cat named Stokely.
Mm-hmm.
And we put together some really classic music, man. And all of us were freaking good, man. We all freestyle. We all put time in, you know, we were all writers. And, yeah, hip hop for me was a friggin' place to go, man, and a thing to do. And then I kind of stopped after a while. You know, the crew kind of died down. We had some stuff happen, and I kind of lost the edge for it. But it's something you can always access.
Yeah. And well, I mean, I can imagine with like a 4 to 8 hour MC torture session. I mean, like it's like you're sharpening your knives. It's like you're sharpening your tools. So even though you'll sheath them and put them down, you take out that katana and it's still gonna cut that paper like it was nothing. It'll still cut through.
Well, the idea behind it was that we're on the res. There's nothing outside.
Right.
There's nothing happening. There's no jobs. There's nothing outside right now. There's only this session and this 4 hour interval where you have to think about where you're at. It's, you have to sit inside of this prison of freaking, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you're going to flow. Yeah. Like when I met the kid, Big Z, I travel with this kid. I met him when he's 14, man. This kid from London. He shows up at my house, 14-year-old kid. Hey, I heard you rap. I'm like, yeah, man. Freestyle. He starts freestyling. Didn't even know me. I'm like, all right, show up at my house. Shows up at my house, freestyle again. We would force this kid to freestyle 8 hour sessions. We would put this kid through the paces, you know?
Yeah.
Even my brothers are the same way. I got two younger brothers, my other brother, all sharp, man, all crazy with it. Because it's just like, if you want to be a rapper in this family, you got to kick it. Like, you got to hold it down. Yeah. So, yeah. It's just something I hold as like, as something. Regard, or you know, I have to do it, you know? But yeah, man, MC torture sessions, that shit became a thing. I started talking about that whenever I'd meet people, and they didn't believe me, man. And I just hit a timer. I used to freestyle 2 hours a day when I was really writing with my crew.
Yeah,
I would just set a timer and just do it. But and yeah,
did you record any of these sessions, or this was literally out in the ether?
Yes.
Okay.
No. A lot of these sessions I recorded on my phone. My buddy was just down. He took me to some concerts this week, and we were just, he's a metalhead. And he's like, let me see all your stuff. We're looking at all of it. I think I have 22 hours of iPhone freestyles, just random crap. And I'm like, that's gold. I should just listen to all that and write what I did there.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Write some little punchlines or write whatever was there.
Yeah. And but, now you can, with the added experience that you've garnered, you can continue to build on it.
Yeah, something's in the air. I feel it for sure. And it might be involving that. Like, our crew is talking about getting back together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Six Bronx Zoo was, you know, six for Six Nations, Bronx for New York, and Zoo because it was just all about, like, animals in cages and shit.
Yeah.
And we were a freaking heavy crew, man. Like, our stuff was on radios. We opened for Tribe Called Red. We had a music video in the mix. We had a lot going on, but like, we had some issues and, you know, things stopped. Like, there were people who would listen to our music and they're like, damn, my buddy still plays a lot of that out in Jane and Finch and other areas. And people know, like, in the underground, but I just felt like we never got our proper, you know, really took it to where we needed to go.
Yeah.
You know?
It sounds to me like there needed to be some growth as a group, individually, and then if you guys are ready to come back, then that just means that the time is right.
All of us are friggin' dads, man. You know, we're as dads, we all have kids young, you know.
Yeah.
So we're trying to tour and shit, and but we're still killing it, you know. Like, it's funny. And then music shifted, right? Music shifted into trap and, like, very melodic singing stuff.
Yeah.
And I got into that shit hard. Like, going back to the MC torture sessions, the idea behind that is even music you don't like, you grind on.
Yeah.
Even beats you don't like, you grind on.
Yeah.
Like, when trap exploded, I picked up the kid Big Z because he was into that. And I was like, let's freestyle trap. And we freestyled trap beats for 2 days straight.
Yeah.
Until we understood the flow patterns, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the way that we did it. Like, If there's a song you don't like, you listen to that stuff. That's the essence of the torture.
Okay.
Because it's actually something you need to work on. Like, oh, that shit's whack. oh no, that's shit you got to learn and you got to understand before you can say that's whack. You
right.
know what I mean? It's kind of, it's
I like
really,
that philosophy because yeah, like
it's kind of really militant. It's like really
yeah, heavy. It's very militant, but it's also very objective.
Yes.
In that like I find that now, and it goes back